Come as you are. Bring what you have. Not just good news, not just praise, not just the highs of the day, but every cry and every want and every complaint, even your despair. These are all welcome in God's sight. For God wants all of us, the parts we reveal, the parts we hide, the things we can live with and the things that we bury. All of these, shaken, stirred, poured out and laid in plain view, are not pretty to us, but precious to God. God is big enough to take all of us and love us even when we do not love ourselves. Steadfast God who takes it all. Well, good morning, everyone. It's lovely to be back with you after a couple of weeks of a break. Had a lovely time in the Peak District, and then last Sunday, as you were worshipping, Kirsty and I were landing back in Aberdeen, having been to Malaga for a long weekend. So we got some sunshine and some just general downtime, so it was really, really lovely. The order of service has all the intimations that you need for the coming week. Although it is the summer, we've still got lots going on. And I would just highlight to you, Tuesday morning, we have a holiday club. Traditionally in the past, we've run a holiday club over a one-week block. But this year, we're experimenting a little and spreading it out throughout the holidays, appreciating the fact that not all children are available for that 1 week that we might decide we're having our club. So if any of you have got family, grandchildren, or whatever, staying with you this coming week and are looking for something to do or a couple hours off, then we'll gladly look after the children for you. So please feel free to bring them along on Tuesday morning at 10 o'clock. I'll leave you to see what else there is on this week. A big thank you to everyone who helped support the Christian Aid Strawberry Teas yesterday morning. I think Ben, who's not with us this morning, who's along at the breakfast service, was really delighted with the response to that, and a good sum had been raised. And I'll be able to update you with the proper amount next week. A little bit about our service this morning. Over the summer months while I'm here, I'm going to be in and out a little bit because I go away with the Army cadets in a couple of weeks' time and I'm away for a Sunday. So the Sunday's either side of that weekend. I'm going to take time to look at some of the Psalms and look at different kinds of Psalms. And this Sunday, today, we're going to look at a Psalm of lament. So I'm letting you know that at the beginning of the service, if you start to think our hymns are all a wee bit on the sad side and that our prayers are a wee bit on the sad side, there's a purpose to this. And hopefully, by the time the end of the service comes round, you'll have seen what we were trying to do with this. So let's start with our call to worship. This world of ours is a hard place. We sink at times in our despair. This world of ours is a demanding place, and we can be worn out by being and doing. This world of ours pulls us in many directions, and we are spinning round, at times going nowhere. This world of ours, though, is God's world. So let's take it to him, and in our worship, let him guide us through it all. We stand and sing our hymn 393, We Turn to God When We Are Sorely Pressed.
Thank you.
Let's turn to God in prayer. God, who knows us better than we know ourselves and loves us unconditionally, we gather in your house where generations have gathered to bring you praise and lament. You are a God of the good times and the bad. You stay with us, upholding us through all that life throws at us. Your compassion has sustained your people through all the ages. You encourage us to bring our whole selves, not to hold back. You assure us that we will always find a welcome with you. As we give you thanks, O God, for your love and acceptance, we acknowledge how often we fail to extend your welcome to others, how often we keep that privilege for ourselves as though it were a scarce commodity. But your love never runs out. Your compassion knows no bounds. So open our hearts and our hands to welcome others into fellowship with you, knowing that there is room enough for everyone. And in our worship and our welcome, may we know ourselves accepted, our wants and our burdens known, our souls soothed and our sorrow lifted. Hear our cries, O God, and draw us near to you this day as we join our voices in the words Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We sing a little song that's on the sheet that's inside your order of service, Bring It All to Me, based on a psalm. I can't remember off the top of my head if this is actually one that is based on Psalm 69 that we're going to look at today, but it is actually based on a psalm written by Fishy Music. Bring It All to Me.
Our reading this morning is from Psalm 69, reading from verse 1 to verse 16, and can be found on page 577 of the Good News Bible. A cry for help. Save me, O God. The water is up to my neck, and I am sinking in deep mud, and there is no solid ground. I am out in deep water, and the waves are about to drown me. I'm worn out from calling for help, and my throat is aching. I've strained my eyes looking for your help. Those who hate me for no reason are more numerous than the hairs of my head. My enemies tell lies against me. They are strong and want to kill me. They made me give back things I did not steal. My sins, O God, are not hidden from you. You know how foolish I have been. Don't let me bring shame on those who trust in you, Sovereign Lord Almighty. Don't let me bring disgrace to those who worship you, O God of Israel. It is for your sake that I have been insulted and that I am covered with shame. I am like a stranger to my relatives, like a foreigner to my family. My devotion to your temple burns in me like a fire. The insults which are hurled at you fall on me. I humble myself by fasting, and people insult me. I dress myself in clothes of mourning, and they laugh at me. They talk about me in the streets, and drunkards make up songs about me. But as for me, I will pray to you, Lord. Answer me, God, at a time you choose. Answer me because of your great love, because you keep your promise to save. Save me from sinking in the mud. Keep me safe from my enemies, safe from the deep water. Don't let the flood come over me. Don't let me drown in the depths or sink into the grave. Answer me, Lord, in the goodness of your constant love, in your great compassion, turn to me. Thanks be to God for this reading from his holy word. Amen.
And thank you, John, for reading them for us. We stand to sing again. This time our hymn is 721 in your hymn books. We lay our broken world and sorrow at your feet. Hymn 721.
Thank you.
look into mirrors to see how they look. They look into the Psalms to find out who they are. With a mirror, we detect a new wrinkle here, an old wart there. We use a mirror when shaving or applying makeup to improve, if we can, the face we present to the world. With the Psalms, we bring into awareness an ancient sorrow. We release a latent joy. And we use the Psalms to present ourselves before God as honestly and as thoroughly as we are able. Those were just some of the words I found on the InterVarsity Press website and the section looking at the Psalms, and I thought they were just wonderful words, wonderful, a reminder to us of the purpose of the Psalms. I said at the beginning of the service over the summer, we're going to look at different kinds of Psalms. And as I observed along the road at breakfast church this morning, we're starting down here and it's the only way is up. So I promise you, whilst we might go a bit wallowing today, that the rest of the Psalms that we look at will help lift us back up. Today's Psalm, Psalm 69, is a Psalm of lament. It is a heartfelt cry out to God from its writer, David. And lamenting's not something that we do regularly in church. Indeed, it's something we seldom set out to do at all. The dictionary definition of lament, well, there's a couple of definitions. The first one, a passionate expression of grief or sorrow. Another one, a song, a piece of music or poem expressing grief or sorrow, or even just a complaint. Now, most of us would recognise these definitions, but we might not always use the word lament in describing how we are actually feeling. The only time we might use the word lament is when we're referring to a plaintive piece of music played on bagpipes. From a biblical perspective, one helpful understanding of lament is this quote from Immanuel Cantigol and Chris Wright's in their book, Reconciling All Things. It perhaps might help us understand what lament is and what it isn't. They write, lament is not despair. It is not whining. It is not a cry into a void. Lament is a cry directed to God. It is a cry of those who see the truth of the world's deep wounds and the cost of seeking peace. It is the prayer of those who are deeply disturbed by the way things are. Lament is a cry directed to God. And that's exactly what David is doing in this psalm. He is crying out to his God. We live in a world, it seems, obsessed by celebrity. A world where celebrity magazines are sold in their millions as we follow the every move of our favourite celebrities. The royal family in the UK even has their own dedicated BBC correspondent to give us all the news about what they are up to. We are obsessed by celebrity. And at the same time, we live in a space where celebrities protest about the constant press coverage that they're given, wishing to protect some notion of privacy which seems at odds at the practice of selling of their own pictures, of personal events, and even the magazines themselves. And we wonder then about this psalm and why David wrote it. Because here is King David, a celebrity of his time. What does he have to be complaining about or grieving over? And why is he calling out to God with these powerful, pleading, plaintive words? Can you imagine the stories about King David, our psalmist, if he'd lived in a world of email, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or even Snapchat? Ancient Israel maybe didn't have these modern methods of sharing news, but it was a society that loved storytelling. And David's story is a great story. A boy singled out for greatness, the defeat of a giant, being made captain of the king's army, his relationship with Jonathan, his uprising against the king, and his reign as the new king. His constant new song additions to temple praise repertoire, and then the whole shameful, corrupt, and abusive Bathsheba chapter. It makes for an intense story, and David would have been the focus of much storytelling and gossip. This psalm shows us the very human side of the celebrity David, because he is human, aren't we all? Sometimes I fear we often forget that those we put on high pedestals because of their celebrity status are just human. And just like us, they experience the full range of emotions. David takes his rawest experiences, and boy has it he had some experiences, and he writes a song that's for communal singing. It is a psalm of lament to be sung on the bad days, on the days when things seem bleak and a triumphant God seems far from the reality of the daily failures. David is struggling, and we see contained within the psalm the rawness of a text. There's almost a sense of paranoia, a sense of self-pity, and yet, despite himself, hope for a God who knows he will do good. This is a God who is worth the persecution, the gossip, and the suffering. Now, the part of the psalm we heard falls into two distinct parts. "Save me, O God," are the opening words, and these set the scene for the next six verses. And I want to share those verses with you again. "Save me, O God. The water is up to my neck. I'm sinking in deep mud and there is no solid ground. I am out in deep water and the waves are about to drown me. I'm worn out from calling for help and my throat is aching. I have strained my eyes looking for your help. Those who hate me for no reason are more numerous than the hairs of my head. My enemies tell lies against me. They are strong and want to kill me. They made me give back things I did not steal. My sins, O God, are not hidden from you. You know how foolish I have been. Don't let me bring shame on those who trust in you, Sovereign Lord Almighty. Don't let me bring disgrace to those who worship you, O God of Israel." This is a lament of someone desperate, even near death. The situation described as a powerful mixture of metaphorical and literal language. The psalmist is about to drown, sinking in deep mud, so tired and worn out that he or she can no longer see straight. Verse 4 hints that the one praying has been falsely accused of stealing, and yet they trust that God knows what they've done or not done. And then in verse 6, it moves from a self to care for those in the community who will be shamed and disgraced by association. And then the tone of the lament moves to one of, "Set me free, Lord." And it goes on, "It is for your sake I have been insulted and that I am covered with shame. I am like a stranger to my relatives, like a foreigner to my family. My devotion to your temple burns in me like a fire. The insults which are hurled at you fall on me. I humble myself by fasting, and people insult me. I dress myself in clothes of mourning, and they laugh at me. They talk about me in the streets, and drunkards make up songs about me. But as for me, I will pray to you, Lord. Answer me, God, at a time you choose. Answer me because of your great love, because you keep your promise to save. Save me from sinking in the mud. Keep me safe from my enemies, safe from the deep water. Don't let the flood come over me. Don't let me drown in the depths or sink into the grave. Answer me, Lord, in the goodness of your constant love. In your great compassion, turn to me." And so there we have in the verses 7 to 9 an explanation of the situation, the insults, the cutting off from the family, the devotion to the temple. And then again, verse 10 to 11 turns on the community and their response to the writer. And then comes in the final verses of our reading from all this, the real crux of it, the pleading for help from God to be set free from all the hate and insults. David is obviously at a low point in his life, and he feels the pressures piling on him, suffocating him, weighing him down. And in his lament to God, He cries out for help. This psalm makes a good prayer for us too. Lamenting's not something that we do often collectively. But perhaps you have used similar words in your own prayers. And remember this, that each word uttered to God is a prayer, not just those spoken with our heads bowed. So in those moments when you have cried out verbally or silently, those words have been heard by God as your lament. Psalm 69 is a fascinating individual psalm of lament. And the question occurs why this raw individual lament is included in a book of songs for the community. Because essentially that's what the book of Psalms is. It is a prayer and hymn book for community use. To include this psalm perhaps seems to be a deliberate move to include the singing of lament within worshipping communities, which, as I've already observed, is rare, despite there being so much to lament. And yet, as a church, we have lost the practice of lamenting, with the focus being on positive worship and action within Western church culture. We avoid it, and in seeking passionate, uplifting worship, we often fail to serve those who are in the pits of life. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11 at verse 28, "Come to me, all of you who are tired from carrying heavy loads, and I will give you rest." But the best we seem to do in weekly worship is to be able to offer in prayer a prayer for those in need. It's rare that we take time to weep and wail about the state of the world or to seek to share the pain of our friends and family. But maybe it does us good to now and again to stop and to bring all our fears and pain to God and lament together. To give space for tears and hurt. Tears for ourselves, tears for our friends, tears for our world. Our hymns today have been chosen because they speak of placing our pain into the hands of God. But maybe the words have missed something that worries you or causes you pain. So how about collectively, all together, here in this place of worship, having a time of lament? In a moment to close this sermon, I'm going to share the words of Psalm 69 again, but this time as paraphrased by Eugene Peterson. I'm going to read it slowly, giving space for you in silence to place your own pain and hurt at God's feet. It might be something very personal. It might be a real concern you have about something happening in the world. Whatever it is, bring it to God. There'll be a moment of quiet at the end before I close with the Amen. People look into mirrors to see how they look. They look into the Psalms to find out who they are. With a mirror, we detect a new wrinkle here, an old wart there. We use a mirror when shaving or applying makeup to improve, if we can, the face we present to the world. With the Psalms, we bring into an awareness an ancient sorrow. We release a latent joy. We use the Psalms to present ourselves before God as honestly and as thoroughly as we are able. God, God save me. I am in over my head. Quicksand under me, swamp water over me. I am going down for the third time. I am hoarse from crying for help, bleary-eyed from searching the sky for God. I've got more enemies than hairs on my head. Sneaks and liars are out to knife me in the back. What I never stole, must I now give back? God, you know every sin I've committed. My life's a wide open book before you. Don't let those who look to you in hope be discouraged by what happens to me, dear Lord God of the armies. Don't let those out looking for you come to an end, dead end by following me, Please, dear God of Israel. Because of you, I look like an idiot. I walk around ashamed to show my face. My brothers shun me like a bum off the street. My family treats me like an unwanted guest. I love you more than I can say, because I'm madly in love with you. They blame me for everything they dislike about you. When I poured myself out in prayer and fasting, all it got me was more contempt. When I put on a sad face, they treated me like a clown. Now drunks and gluttons make up drinking songs about me. And me, I pray, God, it's time for a break. God, answer in love. Answer with your sure salvation. Rescue me from the swamp. Don't let me go under for good. Pull me out of the clutch of the enemy. This whirlpool is sucking me down. Don't let the swamp be my grave. The black hole swallow me, its jaws clenched around me. Now answer me, God, because you love me. Let me see your great mercy full face. Amen. We continue to worship, this time through our offering. Let us pray. At the acceptable time, God answers prayers. But how does he answer prayer? As we bring our offering and ourselves, may we be the answer to prayer as we serve God in our community, reaching out with those who lament. Amen. We're going to sing again, this time one of my favourite hymns, primarily because I just think it is a hymn of lament, but written some beautiful words with Graham Kendrick. 259, Beauty for Brokenness. It just seems to be able to explore all the things that might worry people about our world today. And we're singing it as it's written there, so it's two verses followed by a chorus, two verses, chorus, one verse, chorus. So 259, Beauty for Brokenness. Let's come to God in prayer again. God, so many in our communities feel as though they are drowning. They see no way out, no light in the darkness. Some who are gathered here outwardly calm, mask excruciating inner turmoil. We have made it unacceptable to show our real selves in your house, and yet you bid us come just as we are, with our fears, our anxieties, and with the churning that we bury deep inside. God, help us to break down the barriers and prejudices that prevents mental health from being a topic we can discuss. Help us to demolish the stigma of mental illness. And may our communities be places where all are recognized and where all are welcomed in sickness and in health. Save us, O God. Save us from blindness to each other's plight. Save us from judging based on outward appearance. Save us from labeling others. May we create communities where folk can be real, where they can know love and acceptance, the same love and acceptance that we have known from you. God, when we feel we are drowning, when we feel we have had enough, when we want to give in, may we know that you are present, always ready to reach out and lift us out of despair into the light of your love. God, we pray for your children throughout the world, whose throats are parched and whose eyes are weary with weeping, for those who are surrounded by enemies, for those who see no way through the darkness, for those separated from loved ones, unable to imagine ever finding reunion or reconciliation. And we pray for those falsely accused and wrongly imprisoned. God, who promises to lift up the broken, to free the prisoner, to love the unloved, may we see you at work in our world. And wherever we can, help us to answer these prayers that we make in the name of Christ, healer of all. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is 260, Eternal Father, Strong to Save, hymn 260. us out, O God, to take your healing love to all who are drowning deep down in the darkest pit. Help us to reveal to them the depth of your love through our words and our actions today and always.